To support this podcast, go to PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount is appreciated. Once again, PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Thank you and enjoy the program. Hello, hello, welcome to the show. The affiliate links are in the description down below. Welcome to the Positive Sarcasm Podcast. Jay here. Questions, concerns, comments, go to PositiveSarcasm.com. Go to the contact section. Email me with any thoughts you need. Posing music for bodybuilding, audio editing, video editing, whatever you need. Go ahead and check out all my rando stuff there, from old music reactions to article archives to the movie reviews to all my YouTube stuff, everything that I've cataloged over basically 10 years. Of this little universe that I've created of just projects and theories and concepts. It's all there. Go ahead, check it out. Email me directly if you'd like, positivesarcasm@outlook.com. How many episodes have I done of this podcast? We're like in the 300s, I think. Let me just double check really quick. How many have I done of this podcast in one shape or form of it? It's been a minute then since I've actually checked. Are we closer to like 400? I don't know. I'm just going to look here. What's this see here? 357 episodes. Not bad. Not bad. So if you have any questions, concerns, comments, go ahead and hit me up on my website, PositiveSarcasm.com, or you can email me directly at Outlook.com. Like, subscribe, share, donate, PositiveSarcasm.com/donate. Any amount's appreciated. Let's get that microphone up just a little bit. I'm wearing my Brokeback Mountain winter jacket. Kind of like it. Not bad. It was less expensive than Chase's jacket. $72 for a Canada pooch. 72. That's insane. But he looks fantastic in it. It's an absolutely beautiful jacket. If you want to follow actually his little adventures, you can go to Instagram. Look up at Chase Michael Corso. It is a private account, as all of my Instagrams are currently private. So go ahead. But you're more than welcome to request follow, and I will happily review them and accept them. But yeah, he has his own now. So if you want to go ahead and check out his daily and weekly posts, you're more than welcome to. You'll get to see his beautiful jacket. You'll get to see his early morning posts and stuff. So go ahead and, yeah, check that out if you're into you just want to check out the puppy. And then you can find me on Instagram at @positive_sarcasm and YouTube, Positive Sarcasm, Rumble, Positive Sarcasm, audio format, anywhere podcasts are available, including Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcasts, you know, anywhere. And of course, Substack. And then this podcast has been basically kind of compacted down to a Q&A segment with a mild intro from time to time. Speaking of which, I wanted to talk about, since this is a podcast about Q&A and about discovery and therapy and things like that, especially if you check out the links in the affiliate links in the description down below. Full disclosure, my counseling appointments were every day when I first started about 3 months ago, but now they are down to about maybe one or two a week. They are they're definitely a little bit shorter. They're more upbeat. Things are going my way, but you're gonna want to make sure you run all scenarios, no matter how small, if you are to go through counseling or you know, therapy or something like that. Run those little scenarios by them to make sure that you are on the right path. For example, I was driving a rather large truck this weekend, like a Ford F-250, with a tow hitch that could literally split the atom. And as I was driving on the ocean, driving on the highway in Maine, I was driving at 70 miles per hour because it wasn't my vehicle. I'm not a big truck person, don't get me wrong. If you drive a truck, hey, good for you. I have no problem with it, except for that guy in the Ford Raptor. But I was in so it's a three-lane highway, four-lane highway. I was all the way to the right, wasn't passing anybody, going the speed limit, just doing my thing, had stuff in the back. And wouldn't you know it, a BMW followed me all the way to the exit. And we're talking miles upon miles upon miles upon miles. Could have passed me at any point in time. But instead, he decided he wanted to follow me all the way to the exit with literally no car length between us two. Now, this would, yes, that is his license plate. This would send some people into a furious tizzy when on the highway. But because I've gone through so much and done so much mental health work, I did nothing more and take a photo of it. Because this is dangerous. This is dangerous behavior. It would be dangerous behavior if I were to react, and it would be dangerous behavior, obviously, on his part. If I would have tapped on the brakes, if I would have done anything out of the ordinary, his car would be totaled. I did nothing. I had complete control the entire time. I took a photo of him. This person did this the entire time. It's absolutely disrespectful. It's dangerous. And if anything were to happen, this person could get seriously hurt. And unfortunately, you're not helping out the stereotypes. I have a stereotype. I drive a Ford Mustang. Obviously, I do silly stuff in a Mustang. This is not one of them. This is dangerous. This can get somebody hurt. Seriously hurt. And you're not helping the reputation of BMW drivers by doing this. It is dangerous. What you're doing is flat out dangerous. But for me, what made it most important is I talked to my counselor about it, about how I handled it. And she's like, I understand. But the fact is like that does set some people off. And it is a foolish behavior, but the fact that you were in control and you just let this situation dictate. Now, I did pose the question, what if I just moved over into the left lane in the middle and let this person go by me? What are they going to do? Are they going to go by me, or are they going to just get behind me and stay in the middle lane? What's the purpose of this? They could have passed me at any point in time. Instead, they chose to ride the bumper of this giant truck the entire way there. And there was no markings on the truck other than like on the left and right side, but nothing on the back of it. So, and I was going the legal speed limit in a non-passing lane all the way to the right. So why would they do this? I don't know. But I didn't react. I handled it calmly. And it was just a moment in time. But what they were doing is a motor vehicle violation. Tailgating in the state of Maine and in the state of New Hampshire is a motor vehicle violation. You can get ticketed seriously for it. If the Maine State Police saw this, they would absolutely pull this person over and 100% cite them. So, this is a warning to anybody who decides to drive like this. You can get seriously hurt. You can get put on a podcast with your license plate hanging out. Or you could be cited by the Maine State Police for tailgating. It's a clear and cut scenario. So, that being said, to the person driving this BMW, you may want to think twice on tailgating somebody with a microphone. It's just a thought. So, please, think carefully. This was your warning. The next person won't be so courteous. Anyways, we're going to go ahead and get started with Q&A. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments, you want to submit your own, go ahead and do so. Remember, this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. If you want to seek professional help, or, you know, there's plenty of them out there. I left some links in the affiliate description down below for financial wellness, mental wellness, proper podcasts that really do focus on mental clarity and goals and psychology. They're also available courtesy of Mel Robbins and Dr. Jordan B. Peterson. And there's a few other links there as well for you to review in case you need them. Just trying to be helpful. Now, I do offer my opinions on this podcast based on the information I have. And of course, I do get some entertainment out of it, but I've been a little more subdued as of late, and I still enjoy reading these things because I want to know what's going on in your world. We're going to try to solve problems one individual at a time, and hopefully we can make the world a better place from that point of view. Because I can't save the world, but I might be able to help a few of you folks out with just some simple insight. That being said, let's get BMW boy out of here. Oh, Mozilla crashed. Who cares? And let's go ahead and pop up this week's dig.com Q&A. Let's get after it. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments, once again, positivesarcasm@outlook.com. All right, here we go. Sip of water. I had a bit of a sore throat this week, but solved it relatively quickly. Let me keep my voice. Let me bring it down just a tib. There we go. All right. My husband speaks to his mom every morning for the past couple of months. Her health has been failing, and she spends most of her days in the hospital, having an extremely tough time. Hearing his mom suffer daily is affecting my husband's mental health. It sets the tone for the whole day, and I spend my mornings trying to cheer him up. How do I tell him these daily conversations with his mom are starting to affect my mornings? Even the dog has begun showing signs of depression. Would I be selfish to suggest he needs to talk to her at a different time or maybe on fewer days? Oh boy. Unfortunately, this is not a scenario where you need to insert yourself. This is a situation where you need to be 100% supportive of your husband's ability to still speak to his dying mother while he has the chance. Because if she's on her way out, he needs to make sure that that bond with her is secure and appreciate every moment he has until she passes. You can't be thinking about you right now. His mother is dying. Dying in front of him, and he still has the chance to talk to her. And yeah, I get it. He's depressed. He may be depressed, but it's your job to be with him. I mean, if your mother was to pass away or start to fail or something like that, if you were having a bad time, you'd want your husband's support. So you need to show that support. There's no... He's depressed. He's upset. His mother is failing in front of him. It's something that we all must endure. Most of us, excuse me. And it's something he's trying to cope with, and he's talking to her every day because he loves her. And you have to be there for him. There's no other way around that. You have to be there for him. If you're gonna be the wife in this scenario, you gotta support him. And if you were going through the same thing, I would assume that he'd be there right by your side until the very end. Let's move on to the next one. This one's longer. The last time we visited our son and daughter-in-law, we brought along a lovely play kitchen for our granddaughter, which we'd been saving for 25 years. It was last used by our daughter and is in good condition. My daughter-in-law pulled me aside and tersely asked that we stop bringing large gifts. Their condo was small, and there just wasn't enough room. I told her I'd already mentioned the play kitchen to my son, and he said we could bring it. She replied that he was understandably sentimental about family gifts, so he would never turn them down, but that he was also the one who ended up stressed and grumpy about their overcrowded space. Okay. She also said that as a stay-at-home parent, she was the one who did most of the cleaning and caretaking of their overcrowded space. So the gifts made life difficult for her. Okay. Caroline, I have always believed in your... Now, Caroline is obviously the person from thedig.com, so we're inserting our opinions on top of it. Should be responsible for communicating with their own parents, yes. So I'm not sure what to do with this information. I think my son should get equal say in what goes on in his house, and he's never breathed a word of displeasure over our gifts. We're scheduled to visit in a few weeks, and I'd like to bring a toddler bed and tricycle that I know our granddaughter would love. What should we do? Well, you are the grandparents, unfortunately. It is the parents' responsibility to make the home for their kids. So if they don't want that stuff there, at least right now, you need to respect their space and everything. It's there. I know that you think that they'd love it, and they probably would, but now is not the time. You bring it up to them. You don't coerce them. You don't try to persuade them. It's like, look, we have this stuff. If you decide you want it, it is there for you, or we can leave it here and they can utilize it here. But you can't just go ahead and insert stuff. I know you're the grandparents and you want to spoil the kids and stuff like that, and rightfully so. But at the same time, they are the parents. They make the rules. They set the environment. It is their call at the end of the day. So you bring it up, and if she has concerns about it, kind of have to respect her wishes because it is her kid. Let her and the husband decide what's best for the children. That's it. That's it. If there's no abuse going on, then you leave yourself out of it. This is about toys. This is about gifts. And you know what? They don't need to be showered with gifts. You don't want to spoil the kid, but you have to let the parents take care of this. It's their responsibility. That's it. I mean, this is a bit of a longer Q&A, but the answer was pretty straightforward. So let's just call it that. It's up to the parents. Let them decide what's best. And let's move on to the next Q&A. A friend of mine has been engaged for months. Then she and her fiance had a misunderstanding, and he asked for the ring back. She returned it. He has since found the error of his ways and gave her the ring again. I say she needs a new ring, or at least an altered one. Have that one remounted or somehow changed. After all, he wouldn't use a ring he had first given to someone else, I say when he asked for it back, it terminated the contract of marriage, and therefore this is a new engagement and needs a new ring. Who is right? Huh? No. Here's how it really works. If it is the same person, then that ring still has validity to it. You thought of that person when you got that ring. If you are talking about a different person, then a new ring, in my opinion, should be implemented. You don't give an old ring to a new person. You give a new ring to a new person. But if it's the same person, then that ring still has validity. That ring still has the same sentimental love and trust that you put into it from the very beginning. So, no. And first of all, it's also none of your concern. If you're asked for your opinion, you can give it. But at the end of the day, if you say it terminated the contract of marriage, there's no contract yet. There's no contract. There's no marriage. There's no nothing. There's no kids. There's nothing here. There's no contract yet. This is a commitment to get married or commitment to, for a long-term relationship. That's what this was. The ring still has validity. That's it. It doesn't have to be altered or anything. They found the errors in their ways. I'm surprised she returned it, but I mean, look, we're not going to go into the dynamics of him asking for it back and she returning it. He has since found the errors in his ways and gave her the ring again. Well, maybe he found some errors in his ways. Maybe she found some errors in his ways. Or she found some errors in her ways or whatever. But either way, they worked it out. He decided to give the ring back to her. He does want to spend the rest of his life with her. She accepted. They're together. That ring still has power. That ring still has value. It still has promise. That's the right ring for this moment. If it were to be a new face, it should be a new ring. And it is none of your business how they decide to run their relationship, unless you're looking to ruin it, which is always possible. Let's move on to the next one. Banging through these. My husband and I don't have children. My sister is a single mom, and she has always been strict with her children. She has a rule for her kids that when they turn 18, they either pay rent or move out. Okay, that's fine. Her daughter turned 18, didn't find her footing and wasn't working, and so my sister kicked her out. She asked to live with us, and we agreed. She is doing great at our house. She's attending a local community college and is working part-time. We like having her here. We are not charging rent and encouraging her to save her money. My sister is furious with us for undermining her rules for her children. I'm not sure how to respond. Well, look. I understand the ability for one to struggle. People need to struggle. You do. You have to struggle. And sometimes you have to struggle a lot. In some people's timelines is longer than others. Okay. That being said, we don't want this person to be homeless. They shouldn't have to be homeless. And if she's doing good, and I've talked about this on the podcast in previous versions of this, like if they're 18 and they're on their own, that maybe if they spent a few years, they can go to a community college, but if they're saving money that they can help build into like an investment portfolio or get their own place and get their footing, I don't have an issue with that. And quite frankly, as family, I think the right thing. That's family, and you decided to take care of family. So I'm okay. I'm okay with this. I don't understand why your sister got super upset. Maybe there's something to it because she's a single mom or whatever, but she decided to move. I mean, so she's doing great. She's attending a local community college and is working part-time. Okay, so she's working and going to college. Great. Awesome. And it's not like a big hoity-toity college that I've always, like, you know, ranted against. It's a local community college or a technical institute. That's wonderful. That's awesome. There's a lot that can be made there. That's great. I think that's perfect. And yeah, you're not charging her rent and you're encouraging her to save her money. If she's following those guidelines, awesome. That's great. If you're going to allow her to do this for a couple of years or a few months, either or, that's okay. She turns 20. She has a little bit of money. She has maybe like an associate's degree. maybe then have that talk about maybe charging rent or seeing what she wants to do or something like that. But for now, I think you did something that's very appropriate by helping out family and allowing them to get their footing and go to college. You know, a local community college, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And that'll give you some traits and some certifications. And then she's working as well. That's great. I don't fault you for all. I think you did the right thing. Nothing better than helping people, especially those that actually do take that help and run with it. Let's move on to the next one. All right, here we go. I, 29, female, straight, met my boyfriend, 28 male, straight, last summer after having a, quote, meet cute. What is that? Anyways, and we made things official after about 2 months of dating. We've now been in a committed relationship for 4 months, okay? So far, this has been the most loving, adventurous, and fun-filled relationship I've ever had. He's a great guy. He's sweet, goofy, devoted, go with the flow, but also very scatterbrained. Golden retriever boyfriend type. Very type B personality, whereas I'm more of a black cat girlfriend. More cynical, a little harsher, more rigid, organized, likes things a certain way. Very type A personality, also slightly OCD. He has once said that we make a good team because I make up for the brain cells he lacks. Hey, he's self-deprecating and humble. Nothing wrong with that. Overall, we tend to balance each other out personally, personality-wise, due to his dynamic. But there are habits that he has that drive me absolutely crazy. Maybe you have habits that drive him nuts, too. But thankfully, he's a golden retriever boyfriend, so he's more chill. Examples. Every time he drinks a canned beverage, he intentionally makes a slurping sound. Non-intentionally makes a slurping sound. Instead of politely and quietly sipping the drink. I've gently brought this up to him and said it isn't very polite to do that. He acknowledged the behavior and said he isn't doing it to intentionally be obnoxious. He generally just isn't thinking about the actions he's doing. But to this day, he still does it. Another thing he does. He talks, mutters to himself if he's doing some type of solo task, not talking to another person. Washing dishes. Whenever he does this, he literally makes me cringe. Another thing he has no awareness. He's washing the dishes. All right. Whenever he does this, it literally makes me cringe. Another thing he has no awareness of, how loudly he is speaking when someone is right next to him. There have been instances where he raised his voice so loudly my ears were ringing for a while afterwards. I generally don't think he's aware of realizing he's doing these things as they happen and how it can come off as odd, bizarre, or downright impolite behavior to another person, which is part of why these habits bother me so much. Every time I politely address these habits, I can tell he feels somewhat hurt that I've called out his behavior or he feels like he's doing something, quote, wrong with him for doing it. And then he still ends up doing it. I feel like a scolding mother every time I bring the behaviors up. How do I better confront him about these things in a kind but effective manner? Or am I just nitpicking and need to get over it? I don't know if you like him all that much as you say you do. I mean, literally, if you want to put the boots to him, you can threaten to break up with him if he doesn't knock these habits off. That does work. It really does work. But I don't see this working out if you're just going to continuously nitpick. You did pick this guy. There's a couple options. You can sit down and have a stern conversation with him. Be like, if these habits don't stop, I'm out of here. You can also just deal with it. Or you can just break up with him. If you want it to work, then you need to either, one, get over it, or two, throw the hammer down and see if he, you know, steps up. But I don't know. My skeptical hat is on. I don't think this is going to work. But, I mean, you've got options. But you may have some things that drive him or make him question too, but apparently he's just too relaxed about it to bring it up. You're the one who wrote in, but I'm kind of thinking you may have a problem with him, even though you say you like him so much. So you better figure something out. Let's move on to the next one. Can I ask for a salary reduction if I feel that I'm overpaid? I currently make $140,000 a year salary in a tech job, but I feel like I'm only worth $60K. I have my house and car paid off and have plenty of money in savings. I live very comfortably on $60,000 a year. I'm single, never married, no kids, and I plan to remain in such for the rest of my life. Okay. I don't need all the money they are paying me, and I feel like the company is wasting it. Especially in this environment, I think you should invest in something. I think you should invest in stuff. I don't think you should ask for a pay cut. Generally, that doesn't happen. Maybe you have more value than you realize. $140,000 a year is a lot of money. Hell, even $60,000 a year is a lot of money. I don't think that you should. Yeah. So if you ask for something and they do that, you could be affecting somebody else's salary. You could be affecting somebody else's hourly pay who actually does need this cash. So I would just leave this alone. Maybe try to do more or don't or do less or go part-time or quit or something to that effect. But if as far as the money, use it to your advantage, for God's sakes. There's so many things you could be doing with it. One of them is basically working on your retirement. Because clearly you don't do anything else. You're single. You're never married. You don't have any kids. And you're going to remain like that for the rest of your life. Okay, fine. But if you ask for a pay cut, that could affect other people's salary placement too. But I would just leave it be and invest in something. That's what I would do. That's what I am doing. So I don't like the idea of asking for a pay cut. I know that salaries have been negotiated somewhat, but you're literally asking for a 60% pay cut. Are you thinking about it? I don't know. Honestly, I also don't know if you're just even gloating right at this point. You don't even want a question answered. You're just looking to, you know, flex your financials. But that being said, I don't think it is a proper idea to even ask for a pay cut. You should do something with that money to secure your own financial future. You know, $140,000, a lot of cash. So strongly consider doing something proper with that cash. Maybe starting a foundation, or donate to a nonprofit, or buy that car you always liked, or invest in real estate, or get stocks going. I don't know, something. Do anything other than ask for a pay cut. You know, first of all, $140K, the government already takes plenty of that, so you got that going for you. So don't worry, you have your pay cut. It's called the federal government. All right, they'll cut plenty of your payroll. All right, so if you ask for $60K, you're gonna be making like $40,000+, depending upon the state you're in. So at $140K, I mean, your taxes are up there. So you're not making $140K. All right, you're not. So just think very carefully. In my opinion, don't ask for this. Completely do the exact opposite. Take that money and do something good with it. Anyways, that is the end of this week's Q&A. If you have questions, concerns, comments, you can go ahead and hit me up on my website, positivesarcasm.com, in the contact page, or you can email me directly, positivesarcasm@outlook.com. Like, subscribe, share, donate, positivesarcasm.com/donate. Any amount's appreciated. And you can check me out all over social medias, you know, Instagram at positive_sarcasm, Facebook.com/POSSarcasm, YouTube, positive sarcasm, and of course, Rumble also. That might have saved this podcast, because I still got a strike from like a year ago for something I did on YouTube. 2 years ago, I think it was. Anyways, check me out anywhere where video podcasts are available and audio podcasts are available, including Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcasts, and Substack. And also downloadable and streamable from my website, positivesarcasm.com. In the meantime, thank you for listening, watching, and subscribing. I appreciate you all. It's glad to be back here on a Monday. And I'll talk to you all soon. Recorded here from the Spare Parts Studio for entertainment purposes only. This has been a Positive Sarcasm presentation.